What is up? It's another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. I am back in the captain's seat again. Somehow this
driving
happened
the ship, baby.
Again, and I'll tell you why, because there's a darn good reason. Matt Moore has brought a brand new member of the Falcon Cast into the world today. And his wife did.
Come on, give Matt some credit. Give Matt some credit too. He helped bring it into the world.
He did part of it.
He helped the girls.
He helped a little bit, but Matt's
Morgan looking out for the ladies. Look at that.
Matt's wife gave birth to a beautiful baby girl.
She will be on Falcon Cast next week. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah, she's gonna be our guest next week. So Matt's out for a little bit, and so it's just us chickens here, and. While we welcome one in, we say goodbye to another.
Yeah.
Morgan Alverson, our social media coordinator, who you all love, is leaving us. This is our final week here with the Falcons.
It is.
Morgan, your smile is way too big right
that's
now.
That's what I told her.
Yes, you should be.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because we're all like that, too.
Guys, don't leave us. Because she's leaving.
Right.
Don't leave us.
That's important. Right. Stay around. But Morgan's heading off to other opportunities, and we wish her absolutely well. And we will certainly miss her around here. So we've got her on the Falcon Cast doing her farewell media tour.
My one and only stop.
Your one and only stop.
So guess what? Every question that gets asked today, you have to answer. Every single one.
First.
And we're going to start with L. Because this is your farewell. Oh, gosh, yes. Can put to work because you're leaving.
That's right.
Okay,
and
I just made that up too. So.
And DJ, you know DJ, again, fresh off the golf course. What? How many times?
Well, listen,
rough life.
No,
we've got to reschedule everything around your tee times.
Let me explain something. This was for all these golf tournaments I play in are for great charities.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just free time. I just say, hey, I'm going out and playing 18.
No.
I am supporting different charities, and it's golf season. So every charity has a golf tournament, and anytime I get a chance, I like to go out and support. And it doesn't help that I get to go on a golf course and have a good time.
Yeah,
And, you know, hit up.
I've got egg on my face now.
I actually played pretty good today, by the way. I had a couple birdies on a couple par fives I'm pretty excited about. So
good.
Got on the green in two, so I'm pretty excited about
good.
That. Yeah.
That's great.
Shot. I'm excited.
That's great
Thank
stuff.
You. Thank you, guys. Thank
so
you.
This is us, and we've got... We solicited your Twitter questions, and we're going to answer some of them here. We're going to actually bring in Break with Bosak's Brian Bosak now because he's going to tee these up for us. There's a little golf analogy there for
nice.
You. Boom.
Sneak that one in there.
And we've got some Twitter questions. So
we appreciate you guys, too, blowing up the Twitter. We
absolutely.
Appreciate that,
always.
No doubt.
Without further ado, let's get to some of these. What do we got, Bosak?
All right. From at Omar Magana.
Magana or Magana?
Magana, Magana.
Magana, I might go with Magana.
Magana.
From Omar, who do you think will be the biggest surprise out of the rookies?
Right. Morgan, you got to answer first.
Okay, so my answer is going to be Tevin Coleman, which isn't a huge surprise because a lot of people love him. He seems to be very popular among the fan base. But I really think people are going to be like, whoa, that kid is awesome.
Tevin Coleman.
He's got
like
the speed. Cool. He's going to be right up there with everybody else.
You like Tevin? I got two, man. I'm very excited. Tevin is not one of them. I really enjoyed talking to him, though, how excited he was. He's going to come in here and take a spot. That's pretty cool. I like that. He has the confidence. The two guys who I'm really looking forward to seeing is Jalen Collins and Justin Hardy. Jalen Collins, for the reason of he seems kind of confident.
Mm-hmm.
I know he didn't practice during the rookie, but he looked very confident. He looked very comfortable. But the thing about it is on the other side, you're going to have true fun on the other side. He also got offered. But if Alford slips down inside and plays your nickel from time to time and he's outside, I like his size. I like his energy. I like his effort. I think he played in the top conference in the SEC. So I just had that in there. Sorry about that.
SEC pride.
But, I think he's very, very – I think he's going to be pretty good, man. I like him because a lot of guys are going to go away from Trufant because I think Trufant's starting to feel – you know, himself, you understand how to play in his league now, going into what, his third year now?
Yeah.
So I think people are going to go away from Trufant a little bit, and they do. They're going to have to go somewhere else, and I like Jalen in his first year. I want to see what he's going to do. And Justin Hardy, just because of you got Roddy and Julio on the outside, get him in the inside. He may catch, 40, 50 balls this year, which is huge and fill that void that we've been looking for in that third spot with losing Harry. And we know at times we hope it doesn't happen, but if one of those, your one or two guys goes down, here's a chance for him to step up and make some more catches. So I'm looking forward to seeing those two guys. I think they're going to be two big surprises for this year.
I'm glad you mentioned Hardy, because I don't think he's gotten nearly the attention that he probably should have, being the fourth rounder out of East Carolina. But I'm going to go with Grady Jarrett, and I don't know that he's going to be a surprise, because I think a lot of people are expecting him to really outplay his fifth-round status. I mean, everybody had him as a second-rounder. How he slipped to the fifth round is still a mystery to a lot of people. I just think he's going to come in and he's going to contribute right away. I could see him him and Rashid and Jonathan Babineau inside really causing some problems for opposing offensive lines. I like
Grady as well, man.
Yeah.
I think he's going to come in hungry.
And he's got a really good head on his shoulders. Yeah. And I think you could say that about all the rookies. I mean, it's really something when you talk to each one of these guys, and that's one of the biggest impressions that you come away with outside of their physical abilities. I think you come away with, there's some good heads on these guys' shoulders, and they want to come in and compete.
And you got to look at where he's coming from, too. He's coming from a defense that was pretty darn good last year, and he was, along with Vic, being one of the catalysts up front to get to the quarterback. I mean, their defense was pretty legit, and he was the leader. He had, I mean, he walked, he had the C on his jersey, so it's a reason why he wore that C. It's a reason why that defense was so good, and I think he was one of the biggest leaders. He's going to bring that to the Falcons this season, so I'm looking forward to seeing him as well.
Absolutely.
That's a good one.
All right. All right. What do we got next, Bosek?
This is what we got. We got from at WLJohnson714. Are you guys excited about the trio of running backs?
Well, obviously, since my biggest surprise, the last question, Tevin Coleman. But, yeah, I think Devontae is set to have a fantastic year. I'm really excited about him. And then getting Anton Smith back. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are three really awesome guys right there.
Yeah.
Really awesome. Best. And funny.
Can I say that? Anton's my boy. When I was here, we were kind of like on the scout team together, and we did a lot of stuff. And he's just one of those guys. Obviously, everybody seen it last year when he was healthy. If he got the ball in his hand, it's going to be exciting. And then you add a guy like Tevin Coleman, who has the confidence already coming in here as a rookie, that he is going to contribute. And then also you add Devontae, who said at the beginning of this offseason, he's fired up, he's hungry, he's ready to beat the guy. So you got three guys who are hungry for all different types of reasons, and they're going to give you everything they got every time they touch the football. And that's a dangerous, dangerous, you know, three-headed monster you're going to have. And I think they all have different types of running styles as well, which will add a even bigger dimension for this offense. And I think all three of them are good coming out of the backfield as well. So you can use them first, second, or third down, and they both can come out of the backfield and catch the ball. And the biggest thing is which guy can pick up the blitz, which guy can understand defenses, and that's going to be the biggest part. But once you figure out who that guy is and all the different value that they have, it's going to be interesting to see which guy really comes out of that. But I think all three guys you can't go wrong with.
Yeah. And I think to your point, I don't know that necessarily the starter, whoever that is, the starter, is going to be the guy that gets the most carries. Yeah. I think this could be a great running back by committee situation with these three guys. And I'd even throw in Jerome Smith there, because I think there's a lot of promise with him as well. But, you know, the one thing that I look at with this particular situation is you went from having a guy like Steven Jackson in the room. Okay, so you talk about the intangible stuff, the leadership. You had a guy like Steven Jackson in the meeting room. He's gone now. Your oldest guy, your most senior guy in that room right now is Anton Smith. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he's in there with a very young group of guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is a huge opportunity for Anton, who has been voted captain, I think, 3 years in a row,
right,
to step up and be even more of a leader than he has already been. You know what kind of guy he is. I know what kind of guy he is. This is what can you say about him? He's just relentless in his work ethic. Yeah. His mentality, what he brings to the game, he shows up to work. Mm-hmm. And I think that if he continues doing that, he's not going to be your rah-rah kind of guy, but he's going to be that leader by example.
And that's what's so great about Anton, is knowing him over the past few years, is he's always felt like he's viewed as the underdog. He's always viewed as the guy that's second or third or fourth, even being drafted late. I mean, I'm not sure he's free agent or whatever, but
undrafted free agent.
Yeah, undrafted. So he already had that chip on his shoulder coming in. Like, I got to prove myself. Tevin Coleman's coming in thinking the same thing. Devontae Freeman said, all right, this is pretty much, he's going to feel like, this is my job to lose, so I got to prove myself. Anton Smith coming, I just got an injury. I got to come back from that injury. Will people still view me as the same coming off this injury? So they all have different things that they're fighting for. And you say Anton being that guy, you lead by example with those two guys. And you can tell that guys are going to follow him because he's just one of those guys you follow. I mean, he's a good guy to be around. He's going to make you laugh. They're going to have good times. And it's not going to be those button head type of guys.
No,
it's going to be
good.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. But I like those three guys. I mean, I like that. You talk about Jerome Smith. I like that group of running backs who can really, really get it done. I think they won't have an issue, especially running the football, because all those guys run extremely hard.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. All right, Bosek, what do we got next?
Good to hear. I like your guys' thoughts.
You like that? Bosek, do you have any thoughts on anything?
I said it, I think, last podcast, I'm excited about Tevin Coleman, just like Warren just said.
Okay.
Yep. But cool. No thoughts on Johnson.
What about your biggest surprise? You got a biggest surprise from the rookies?
I don't.
Why don't you put yourself on camera there, bud?
Let people see you.
Do people really want to see me?
Yeah, they want to see you. All right. See you and the guy on the couch, too, over there, man.
Otherwise, you're just the voice of God coming from nowhere.
Well, that guy coming
I like that
from.
Better.
Yeah, right.
I like that better. All right, on to the next one.
All right.
From @ATLJD, who could emerge as starting free safety?
This is the question of questions.
This has been a very popular question.
Morgan's going to break down the free safety position for you right now.
Oh God, no.
Talk to me.
Go for it.
Explain it to me.
No, but out of a couple of options that we have here, I'm going with Kamal Ishmael.
Okay.
I think he has really learned a lot. He's been looking at William Moore a lot. He's kind of learned under those guys for a few years. He's kind of been on the back burner, hasn't really done too much. You saw him a little bit last year getting some plays in there, and people were kind of like, who is that? I think this year he'll break out even more, and you could see him as the starter.
Kamal, did he end up with like 4 or 5 picks last year? Or
I think
something
he
like
led
that?
The,
yeah.
He might
the
have
team.
Led the team
led the
in
team,
interceptions. I don't have the stats in front of me, but
the thing I like the most, you got Charles Goffrey and also Kamal Ishmael. Obviously Goffrey, you remember him from his time in Carolina, and I think both of those guys have the experience to play alongside William. And I think that Willie Moe would bring those guys along. And we know Willie Moe likes to be in the box, hitting guys, be down low. And you have two guys who can play the high hole who you know can cover. Kamal had a couple issues last year, a couple times, getting beat a couple times. But I think that's going to add to his value on the back end, where he has some experience. He's been in some of the big games. He's, you know, had some – went against some of the big-time receivers, especially in the league last year. I think it's going to be a close race between Kamal and Charles, I believe, because of the experience factor that they both have and played in a lot of big games and can really play alongside a secondary entry front and Willie Moe. You need somebody back there who you can trust as well, and those guys have played together. So it'll be interesting how they come together, especially in his offseason and then getting to camp. Whoever gels together, I think that's really what it comes down to when they communicate. They got to be able to talk. They got to know what they are looking for, especially on the back end, because if you have one breakdown on the back end, we all know it's 6 points. So that's the biggest thing is those guys coming together and gelling early. And you never know till they get on the field and they gel and they go together and they play together. But it'll be interesting to see. And I like to see both those guys, Ricardo Allen, the other guy in the mix as well. Anything can happen.
I really view this as a really big opportunity and challenge for Kamal Ishmael in particular, because I feel like this is a little more than what he's been asked to do in the past. He seems to be more of an in the box kind of safety.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, I mean, you get more of a cover safety set of responsibilities, and it changes a lot of what you do. He's more of a bigger body, like a William Moore kind of guy, whereas, you know, you look at Ricardo Allen, you look at Charles Godfrey, those are more prototypical kind of free safety body types. I'm going to go out and I'm going to say that I think week one, Charles Godfrey starts, unless there's some kind of transaction between now and then. I mean, the roster's never done. We've seen that as we've gone through here. But Charles Godfrey, to me, represents a veteran. Like you said, he brings a lot of playing experience, a lot of leadership, things like that. I think he didn't get a lot of playing time last year, and I know certainly it was only on special teams if he did. I think that maybe sticks with him a little bit. I think he wasn't happy about that, and I think Dan Quinn comes in with a lot of confidence in him, and we've heard that in press conferences. I think this is a guy with a lot of years left in him. He's athletic. Again, he's got the experience. I think it's ultimately his job to lose that, and just in my opinion.
Like, I like what you mentioned about Charles and his experience and being that prototypical high hole safety. And on, as a guy who played an offensive side of the ball, if you can key in on which guy's going to be in the box, which guy's going to be in a high hole, it makes it easier for when you're, you know, trying to distinguish what coverage they're going to be in. And if you got two guys who are the same, as in Kamal and also Willie Moe, and you feel like he can only play in the box, that's going to hurt you. You got to have guys who can play either or. And if I know last year, a couple times Kamal had some times where it was hard for him to, you know, kind of judge the ball in the air.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to cover, especially if you're going to be the high hole guy. You're going to be the last line of defense. So that's one thing he used as a chip on his shoulder to say, okay, I got to get better. If I want to play and start, I have to be able to cover on the back end, because we know Willie Moe likes to play towards line of scrimmage. And if he had a preference, that's where he would be. So you got to have somebody on the back end who can cover your butt if they're going to go deep. And I think that's going to be a huge test for him if he overcomes and takes over Charles in that position, and he has a good chance of playing.
And this is, you know, to talk about this group of guys, I mean, this is a very good problem to have.
Yeah.
When you're talking about a guy who led the team in interceptions, with the asterisk of I don't have the stats in front of me, but we're pretty sure that Kamal led the team in interceptions last year.
He did at one point.
Yeah, I think so. But when you are faced with the possibility of making him a depth player and not starting him, and I think you've got to get him on the field in one way or another, whether it's a rotation or whatever, I think he's a guy who's kind of proven himself. He's starting to really get some confidence in himself. However things fall, I think he's a player that you would want to have on the field. I think that's a good problem to have.
Well, Jay, that's where your average teams turn into good teams and good teams turn into great teams, because you have guys who are depth guys who can be your starter.
Yeah.
And a lot of teams worry about, if my starter goes down, oh, man, the backup, I don't know if he can do it. Right. Well, now you got a guy like you just mentioned who has done it, who has experience, and you know he can step in there and fill the void. You don't have to worry about it. And that's when, you know, good teams are like, okay, we're good. If a guy goes down, we don't want him to go down, but we know we got another guy who can step in his place and fill the spot.
Yeah, and we've seen in past years with the number of injuries. I mean, it can happen to any team.
You don't have that backup guy,
any guy. So, yep. All right, Brian, what we got?
From @MontanaRacin.
All right.
Any word on where Roddy will be playing, on the outside or in the slot?
Now,
any word?
Any word.
Any like word. Any outside. Word you hear here is going to be speculation and nothing more.
This is not official.
This is not official. But do you have any thoughts on that? Do you want to see Roddy White in the slot, or you want to see him on the outside?
No, I think you were right with Justin Hardy. I think you could see him.
Well, here's the thing about offenses these days is they can line up anywhere. There were times last year where Julio was at tailback. I mean, anytime, you gotta be able to. They gotta be able to play multiple spots. They gotta be able to play inside and outside. And the biggest thing for that is matchups. That's all you want to find is matchup. If you can get Roddy or Julio playing in the slot, playing on maybe your second or third or fourth best defensive back, that really is an advantage for you. And that's what offenses try to do, is they try to find an advantage one way or another, because defense is so good, and a lot of teams don't have three solid cornerbacks or three number one guys. Like, you look at the Jets, they're going to have Cromartie, they're going to have Revis. That doesn't happen all the time. Usually every team probably has one shutdown corner, and that's probably what, you know, every team probably has. So if you have a guy, you have two number one receivers in Roddy and Julio, and you move one to the inside, well, you're probably going to get him on the nickel guy, which is the third defensive back, and that's going to give you an advantage.
Good thing,
And it's a difference on playing on outside and inside. The inside guys – usually have to run different types of routes. That's why you see smaller guys sometimes play inside. They got to understand how to get in and out of different coverages, whether it's zone or man, and how to come out of it, and you just got to know how to read it. It's a different feel from the outside to inside. There are so many different routes that guys run on the inside as opposed to the outside. But the thing about Roddy is he can do both. He's done both. And whenever he's on the inside, he can stretch a defense so much faster because he gets up on the safety so much faster than he is on the outside. And that gives the defense so many issues. That's why they hate to see the guys play on the inside. And especially in those bunch sets, they get them on the inside. It's tough for defenses to really key in on them if they're just outside or inside. If they're everywhere, it's a good thing for the offense.
Now, when we talk about this, and you talk about Roddy being a receiver who's getting up there, and you know that he's got a few years left in his career, does the slot position suit him a little better given his age as opposed to playing on the outside? Because of the, as you mentioned, the different routes that you're trying to run on the inside.
Well, I think it all depends on situational stuff that go on in the game. Sometimes you have a third and four or five, and a guy who is getting up in age, sometimes they can't stretch it as more or as fast, and it's easier for them to find an open area because they're so fine-tuned. They've been playing like around 10 years, and they understand the nuances of running routes. So if you put him on the inside and you have a situational call and you know he's going to get open, that's why Tony Gonzalez was so good. He wasn't fast at all. Everybody knew he wasn't going to run away from nobody.
Yeah.
But he knew how to run routes. He knew how to use his body. And that's one thing an experienced player like Roddy can do from the inside, using those skill set, using the mental part, just as well as the physical part, to get open. So that's going to help him because he's played so many years. He's ran so many routes. He's seen so many coverages. He understands exactly where to be and where to fit in a defense, which will help him even in his latter years as far as being a receiver. He can still stretch the field, but he has a different mindset and skill set, especially when he goes inside to get open.
But going back to the size thing that you mentioned about the slot receivers typically being the smaller kind of guys, I mean, isn't there an element to that where a guy like that can get lost in the defense and squirt out the side and suddenly he's open, and usually he's a speedster so he can take off for yards down the field. Roddy doesn't fit that mold.
Yeah,
well, but can he be effective in that same type of scenario?
He can be, because usually sometimes the guys on the inside run different types of routes where they're usually maybe the third or fourth in your progression as a quarterback. So you may have your deep ball coming across the top. It's not there. You got your running back coming out of the backfield. Then here comes your little slot guy who's leaking out late. Roddy can be that guy because he has the patience to do it. He understands that, okay, the ball's not coming to you right now, and he doesn't rush it. Whereas some guys who are very quick and fast, they try to get in, get it out, and they've overrun the route. And it's just small stuff like that where a guy like Roddy, even though he has a bigger body, you still have to have the mental capacity to understand where you are in the route concept. And I think he understands that. He's played so many years, and he understands how to get open, that even though he's a bigger body, he still can find those small cracks or whatever it is to get open underneath, just like, you know, a bigger body like Tony Gonzalez is. So it just depends on how you run those routes when you're in the slot. Because sometimes, if you ever watch Harry past couple years, sometimes he came off full speed. Sometimes he came off and kind of stutter step. It just depends on how you want to get open, the progression in which you know you are. Sometimes you know you're the third progression, so you don't rush it. So there's different ways to get open and find your hole to get open.
How would you get open?
Morgan said, "Oh, my head. I'm good. Just go right through there. I'm small."
She said, "Go right
footwork.
Through.
Boom! Throw me the ball. I got it."
Boom. See, this is why I love having DJ on here, because you feel like you learn something when you come on
the phone.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's what I'm saying. And then we will miss you for your answer that you just gave there.
As so I'm here for.
Go back to the depressing. I hear we have a special question.
We do. I was confused. I don't know who this person is.
We met this. Who's this guy?
It says from at a Hiddle. Why is there honey?
Who has a name like that? A Hiddle. Who is that?
I'm not sure.
Could that be the guy on the couch?
Oh, that's that guy.
The guy on the couch.
The purple yurple guy. I got you.
We're a little purple today. Okay. What do we got now?
Why is there a honey bear on your desk? Your? I'm not sure who's your. Maybe Jay?
I think it's mine, because I'm the one with a honey bear on my desk.
Honey bear?
Yeah, I've got a honey bear on my desk.
You do.
What's up with the honey bear?
Well, so I in the morning for breakfast, every morning I'll have a little Greek yogurt cup.
Okay.
And I find that it's delightful with a little bit of honey in it.
Interesting.
So I keep honey on hand so I can have a little bit of honey.
So the bear.
So the little
honey.
Bear.
So the honey is, okay, I got you.
Let me ask you a trivia question.
Uh-oh, we're not going to do that.
Let me ask you a trivia question. about, do you know that that little bear that you see in so many shelves filled with honey has a name? Do you know what the name is?
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh. Yeah.
No.
Winnie the Pooh.
This bear has a universal
Honey Bear.
Huh? No.
Mr. Honey Bear.
Nope. Do you know? You don't know.
I got no clue.
Yogi.
Nope.
No. Yogi's a good guess.
Give up. You got a guess?
Teddy.
No. His name is Nugget.
Nugget.
Interesting.
Yes.
The bear's name is Nugget.
The bear's name is Nugget.
Chicken Nugget.
Why do you know that?
Okay, so there's another podcast that I listen to religiously with one of my favorite two guys on it are two of my favorite, I guess you call them actors from this show I watch called Impractical Jokers. And so they have this podcast, and they've literally like found out that like this little bear has a name, it's Nugget, and so they created this sociopathic personality for it. So this character on this podcast is always like trying to
interesting.
Do negative things.
You should bring him on the podcast next week.
I'm going to. You know, this I feel a little bit like the hot dog conversation right now. Just
everybody
looking at me weird.
You got crushed on Twitter for that. I mean,
I still people, say, somebody asked
it was like it was one person that WL, agree with you.
WL Johnson 714 also asked me if I still believe a hot dog is a sandwich. Yes, I do.
I mean,
crazy.
You got crushed though. I mean, you had over 20 people that totally disagree with you.
It's fine. I still hold
so to, if 20 people tell you you're wrong, you still feel like you're right.
I hold to my hot dog principles on this.
All right, well, I got some new questions for you guys.
Okay, so this is the official break with Bosa.
Yeah, I have my own questions. Okay, I appreciate the help from the Twitter world. I appreciate all you guys. But here's one question for you. We had these Twitter followers that follow UJ or DJ or the Falcons. Who is your favorite account to follow? To follow back. On Twitter, your favorite Twitter account to follow.
Look at
it. Straight to Morgan because it's your last week.
Straight to Morgan.
Go ahead.
This is a really hard question.
I'm going to look mine up while you're going.
It's really hard. I could go the easy way out and say the Falcons and everyone follows. Okay, I won't. I like following our other sports accounts. Obviously, everyone loves the Hawks Twitter account. They do a fantastic job over there. And can you skip me? This is just too much pressure.
How is this? You were our social media coordinator for three years.
Right. Okay. Here's a good one. This makes me sound like a little history nerd, but do you ever follow? I think it's like History Pictures.
Yes.
And it's just History Pictures.
Yeah. It's
fascinating to me that they find these black and white pictures from somewhere and get them to Twitter. I really like that.
All right.
That's a fun one to follow.
It's a good one.
What do you got?
I remember we were talking about this, and it's a Twitter feed that's called Not Common Facts. It has unusual facts stuff that you'd be like, oh, wow.
But
that's a good one.
But are they real?
Are they legitimate, though?
Because a lot of those accounts are fake.
Is it a verified account that gives you verified
some of these purported fact accounts... it's just somebody making up stuff. It's like, oh, unicorns really existed 2,000 years ago. Huh? Same person
I thought these are pretty good.
Stuff. Same person that writes the hot dog stuff. Yeah.
That's a good one.
What about you?
Me? My favorite account is the parody account, PFT Commenter. If you don't follow this guy, God, do it. He is so funny.
What's the name of it? I'm going to look it up right now.
PFT Commenter.
PFT. Oh, okay. I see it.
And it's a fan account. So PFT, Pro Football Talk. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that site.
Yeah.
PFT Commenter adopts the philosophy that telling is greater than spelling.
Telling
a real person.
So you bring on your hot takes of sports. Do we know what a hot take is?
Okay.
You bring on your hot takes and you don't worry about the spelling. You just tell it. And it comes out really funny. And he's one of my favorites. I know a lot of people out there probably follow him as well. This room, again, does not seem to be on the same wavelength with me.
We're not you and these hot dogs.
But it's okay. Check him out. He's hilarious. And that's mine.
Bosek.
Great. Thanks for that. What's mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have
what do you got?
Yeah, it's coming.
Is it Jim Spirit Wear?
I know this is your break time, but...
Jim Spareware is a good one.
Jim Spareware is a good one. One time he asked me if I wanted cake.
You did?
And that just
she was
makes
up in Jim's hometown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Up in Chicago.
Thank you, Jim.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. I mean, sports related.
Anything related.
Okay. Well.
Yeah,
I'll go sports just to make sure.
Falcons Jay Adams, right?
At 506 Sports, it's a good one.
Oh, okay, that's a good one.
Do you know what that is?
Yep.
Yeah.
I do.
They, it helps me a lot during the season, football season. They tell you which channel the games are going to be broadcasted on. Or yeah,
it's very helpful. The 506 is good stuff.
506.
Good stuff. What else we got?
My next question. We're into the finals now for Shooty Hoops for the NBA. Who will win
Shooty Hoops.
Who will win Shooty Hoops?
Shooty Hoops. It's the big game in the sports gym.
Shooty Hoops.
Jay came up with that one. But
big, oh, man, you guys.
The NBA.
Shooty Hoops?
Big the National game Basketball in the Association.
In the sports gym.
Who will win
show
the
that
NBA
Jay again.
Title?
Show them that Jay again. like butter, baby. Hold that thing. You gotta hold it. Yeah, you gotta hold it.
Okay,
yeah.
Who's
just hold. Like loving basketball. Just hold it. Hold it till it's over.
Whole time.
We got.
Okay. Who will win the NBA title? I'm going hometown team all the way. Atlanta Hawks. ATL? They've had a couple of really close games. Got my heartbeat going really fast. But I just think they're a very resilient team. They've got it in them. They're gonna make it happen.
I like it.
True to the ATL, baby.
True to Atlanta.
True.
Everyone's saying
true. True. They're going to go 7 in this series to the Cavs, but guess what? They still going to come out on top. True.
I like that.
I completely agree.
I like that.
Keep holding that thing.
You have the Hawks too?
I like the Hawks, baby.
Jay? Can I take the Badger? Are there Badgers in it?
The Badgers?
They're Badger.
No, there's no Badgers.
I don't follow the NBA.
I know, hence the nickname Shooty
Hoops. So I'm going to go with the Hawks as well, mostly to pander to our audience, but obviously to support the hometown team as well, but also because I'm not too sure of any other teams that are involved in the Shooty Hoops tournament.
Right. I like it.
I got one last thing.
What's up, DJ?
While I was playing, I wasn't really big on social media, but now I am, and I'd like to thank this entire staff right here for getting me verified.
For
getting me verified on Twitter.
That
it
was
big news.
That
people,
was big.
People couldn't believe I wasn't verified, so.
Yeah.
I thank you guys for thinking
welcome.
About me getting verified.
You don't have to thank them. I got you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Who was the one who noticed that he wasn't verified?
That was it.
I noticed.
Looking out for
but
I boy.
But I am not verified. Twitter will not verify me.
I can't.
Why? They have told me to kick rocks a million times.
What is the big deal? I mean,
I don't know.
What, I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
They're very stingy with it, I guess.
Unbelievable.
All right, one last thing for you guys.
All right, what do we got? We got a video of the week here.
You read my mind, Jay.
You read my mind.
Video of the week.
All right.
What do we got? Well, that's not it.
Well, that's not the video of the week.
That is Falcon Cares. That's a good video, though.
Technical difficulties here. You got a lot of buttons over there. All right, here we go. There's a car there.
All right, here we go.
Mini.
Here goes the video. Not a whole lot happening.
Where's the hood? Is there a hood?
There's no hood.
There is no hood on this.
There is no hood?
They're trying to figure out how to remove an engine from a car.
Okay.
This is what's happening.
The window's down on the one side.
Oh,
okay.
And they...
What?
It just flies into reverse. Oh, there's the engine.
That's how you get it out.
And that,
how does the engine just jump out of the car?
So is it... Is it tied to a chain on it? There's a chain on it.
There's a chain on it, and they're right by a guardrail, and they tied up the chain.
So obviously they didn't care about this car, though.
They must not. I don't know why they wanted to get out like that.
Or the engine, right? You pull the engine out, but you probably lost a bunch of pieces, too.
Look at that.
Is this Russia?
I'm
not sure the source of this country.
Wow.
I mean, why?
But yeah, you can kind of see on the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they said, dude, listen, how are we going to get this engine? All right, look, take this. Let's do this. Let's just tie
of
it
all
up to
the things that you could do, this is what
and back up.
What made it as a finalist and ultimately was the decision that we came to.
Oh, my God.
This guy here on the left seems very proud, too. He's very happy.
Were any humans harmed in the making of this video?
I don't think so.
That car's never going to be the same.
No.
That car was hurt, that's for sure.
Goodness.
I mean, that was the end of it.
I mean,
that car can't move
that's
anymore.
That's a dramatic way to have an engine come out of a car.
That is the most ridiculous way.
Folks, don't try this at home.
Thank you.
That's the lesson.
That's a good one.
Good job, Bosek.
Well,
ready to add that.
I guess we sadly sign off on another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. Morgan Alverson's very last one.
We're going to have no music at the end of this podcast. This is going to fade like, out.
To
it's going to fade to black. Fade to black right here.
I'm going
to
let you do my paper toss this week.
You will do my paper toss as well.
And
these are going to be bad.
We're going to let you throw it. That camera's right straight ahead right there. There's another one.
Oh, we still
have that one's gone.
All right, here we go.
And you throw while I send it off.
Bam. Well, damn. Three times the charm.
There we go. All right. Well, that's going to do it. Say goodbye, Morgan.
Bye.
Toodaloo. And we will see you guys next week on another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. We don't know who's going to be on the show next week, so stop by and check it out.